The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
America Tonight. How was your weekend? Wasn't a good weekend for one pro golfer. I know, an odd way to start this show, right? But we do talk about the fact that sports and politics are so much alike. There's some crazy things that have happened in the world of politics on this wild and wacky slope that is 2016, cascading into Cleveland and Philadelphia for the Democrats and for the Republicans. So let's jump right into politics at the top of this. Yeah, why not, right? And what we see, politically speaking, is this here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We see that you have the president kind of sidestepping the Hillary Clinton issue, but sort of defending her at the same time. Then you hear Joe Biden saying, yeah, I'd like to see a woman elected. And on top of all of that, you see the proclamation by Kasich, the governor of Ohio, that, you know what, this delegate thing is bizarre. Well, if he's just figured that out, then something definitely is amiss. Because the delegate quandary has been around for a very long time. Ask someone to explain it to you, and they barely can. And maybe that's what the whole idea is. Let's demystify it. No, thank you. Let's keep it confusing so people aren't quite sure what's going on, and that they can't really blame us when they don't like who the candidate is in the general sense, away from the convention. So anyway, for Obama, he has to keep a Democrat in the White House, right? So he has to kind of back Hillary Clinton, but he doesn't do it. I mean, he's not doing it where he's like really pushing her. It's just more the front runner, the front runner, the front runner. The president kind of has suppressed any leanings in the Democratic nomination contest, which is very strange in one sense, because I believe there was some kind of deal made that, okay, he becomes president, Hillary Clinton is then made, you know, the Secretary of State, and it was kind of a give back so the Clintons would back Obama. But he's kind of hesitant about defending some of what's going on with Hillary Clinton. So the reason that I'm bringing this up is because of what happened this weekend. So check this out. The president insists that Clinton hadn't put the country at risk by using a private email server during her time at the State Department. He said, I continue to believe that she's not jeopardized America's national security. He said this during a Fox interview. And then praised her for what she did as Secretary of State. He almost just tries to get to the Secretary of State thing as fast as he can. But even when he was talking, he said he needed to be careful what he said since his administration continues an investigation into the email arrangements. But he stopped short of saying that Clinton didn't break any laws. And so far, remember, the Justice Department hasn't said what's going to happen. They haven't made that decision yet at this point. And even the White House said on Monday that the president hasn't received any confidential briefings on the examination into the Clinton emails. And he hasn't requested one, which, of course, that's smart because they're not going to request it. Josh Earnest, who's the White House press secretary, the mouthpiece, said that Obama's views on whether Clinton trafficked in classified information on her private email is just solely from public reporting on the case. When he was asked a specific question, that's it. And, of course, we know this is the vulnerability. This is the Achilles heel for Clinton. The Republicans are pressing it, pressing it, pressing it. And until a decision is made, they're going to continue to do that. They're not going to stop doing that. In the meantime, Joe Biden decides that he's going to say, when he's asked again and again and again, whether he would back likes the idea of a woman candidate. He says, I would like to see a woman elected. I mean, really, what, when he's cornered, first of all, what's Biden going to say to that? He's seen everything. So he says, yes, you know, that they're totally qualified to become the next president if there's somebody. And he made his comments in an interview with a news organization, which was focusing on the VP's efforts against sexual assault, because that's his big, you know, that's the thing that he's touting, that he's going after. And he did go on to say that Bernie Sanders' approach contrasts sharply the style of the Republican frontrunner, Donald Trump. And when he's pressed about it again, he said, look, they're both totally qualified to be president. They both get in a fight. They fight with campaigns to do this. And the VP pointed out that Sanders didn't say Clinton is not qualified because she's a woman. So that's what he was being, really, that's what he was being pressed on. That's what he was being asked about. So this is the same war of words, the same, you know, cockamamie political jumping jacks that go on every single day. And that's what 2016 has been all about. Now, we're in results season, endorsement time, whittling down who's left. If you think 17 Republicans started, I mean, you know, now you're really down to five people. And I think Kasich by default. If you look at the total number of delegates, you have Trump with 746 and Cruz 538. Kasich 145. On the Democratic side, Clinton has 1790, while Sanders has 1113, and of course O'Malley, his name is just thrown up there for grins because he's not in this. He bowed out a while ago. Has zip, like somebody said to me, why is O'Malley on the list? I guess to even things out, I don't know. So you have three and three, even though he's not in this anymore. As for Hillary Clinton and the odds of, you know, the political prediction market to be the Democratic nominee, the live odds every day change. There's a kind of a little game you can play. And in this game, it's really, there's been wild swings. Today, I noticed it's, for Clinton, it's 87%. For Donald Trump to be the Republican nominee, 52% to Ted Cruz's 42%. And Democrats to win the presidency, this live predicting game, 76%, that's the odds. For the Republicans to win the presidency, 24%. But you know what they say about predictions. It's ultimately about the results. And we're going to talk about results here on this show, including some key results from the world of sports. We'll mix that in because we have the Warriors going for a big record. We just came off the Masters, an epic collapse by last year's winner, Jordan Spieth. We'll tell you about that. Much more heading your way as we continue down the straightaway here on America Tonight.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack and was told I'd be on disability for the rest of my life. What did I do? I created Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
It's no secret that pathogens such as bacteria, viruses, moles, and fungus can inflict severe damage in the human body. Fortunately, a new and vastly improved silver solution has been developed. Supernatural Silver is a revolutionary broad-spectrum antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal solution that can be used inside the body as well as on the skin. Supernatural Silver is unique and superior to colloidal and ionic silvers, using a patented technology that is highly effective against colds, flus, infections, food poisoning, and yeast, in addition to many other pathogens. Supernatural Silver is scientifically supported, extremely safe, and is the number one choice of thousands of people for immune system support. Find out how Supernatural Silver could change your life. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code HEALTHY for 20% off. That's supernaturalsilver.com. And like us on Facebook.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day. But growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
America Tonight, and It's Your Business. Boy, this is an important topic, kids and money, kids and finances. We have Shannon Schuler with us. She's from PricewaterhouseCoopers. She's Chief Corporate Responsibility Officer with the company and also serves as the president of the PwC Charitable Foundation. So when we look at kids and finances, I just had this conversation with a friend of mine who has five kids different ages and is trying to teach them about money and about financial literacy. And April, by the way, is Financial Literacy Month. So perfect time to have a chat with Shannon. First of all, Shannon, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, well, thank you. As you said, it's an incredible topic and certainly very timely with this month.
Yeah, so when we look at the basic problem, why are kids and money, this seems so elementary, but why are they so clueless?
Well, generally, they're clueless because we don't talk about money a whole lot at home, and we have an expectation that either they'll learn it somehow or from someone. It's also not being taught very widespread in schools. And so here's such an important issue that really shapes your future, your career decisions, your education decisions. And we're just not teaching people because we're uncomfortable talking about it, and we just don't have all the information needed to make sure that teachers are equipped and that parents are equipped to teach these young leaders that are up and coming.
Yeah, what did PricewaterhouseCoopers find? Because you've done lots of studies on this.
We have. I mean, the one thing that we've really tried to look at is what's happening and what's changing. And a new study that we just put out was around what do teachers think about this and has this evolved over the years. And probably one of the most interesting findings is that millennial teachers really feel that this is something that should be taught starting in the elementary school, and much more so than their older colleagues, at a percentage of 62% to 51%. So millennials, as a generation, tend to be one of the generations that's actually least equipped financially and has the least financial understanding. But millennial teachers are really saying, gosh, we know we're not good at this and we haven't been taught this. And so we want to figure out how to actually teach it in the classroom.
Yeah. What happens when these kids fall through the cracks and they don't even have the basic financial skills that you need, let's face it, to navigate through life?
Well, what happens, and especially now with technology, so there's so many decisions that you can make, and now with technology, there's a lot of very bad decisions you can make very quickly. And what we're finding is that the generation now is really looking at more risky behavior. So they're going back and they're using payday loans. They're not signing up for their company's retirement funds, and if they are, they're using it really like a savings account, and they're taking it out. And they're actually now starting to use pawn shops. Even college-educated millennials, more so than ever before. So they're just saying, how do I get the money? I need it now, because they haven't had the education to really figure out how to be able to save and maintain for the future.
Wow. So as you look at that, boy, that's interesting, especially with the teachers, as you say. I would assume even some of the teachers who have been around for a long time are starting to see that this is a problem too, right?
Oh, absolutely. And they continue to say, we need curriculum, we need some standards, we need training for teachers. And the other thing that they're really starting to understand is they're saying we need take-home materials for parents. Because unlike when a teacher teaches algebra or you teach history, you may talk about it at home, but you don't have a parent saying, no, that's not how you do it, or doing incorrect algebra problems or trying to rewrite history. But when you teach financial literacy in school and teachers are trying, when the student goes home, they see their parents aren't budgeting, their parents aren't saving, their parents are maxing out their credit cards. And so it's not able to really be sticky because they don't see it at work.
Yeah. Here's a great question. So with the studies that you've done, when should this start? When should we start preparing kids for this?
I think it's most important to start as young as you can. I mean, I have a 3.5-year-old, and right now we're talking about behavior, right? It doesn't start out talking about dollars and coins. It talks about long-term versus short-term. So even the old have one marshmallow today or two marshmallows tomorrow. Uh-huh. So you can start talking about delayed gratification, because really good financial decision-making is just that. It's decision-making. It's making sure that you're thinking through what steps, and that will work for you, whether it's financial issues down the road or any kind of decisions you're trying to make as you go through your life and your career.
Yeah, and you found with your study some pretty hardcore, very bleak numbers. What were they?
Well, we know that 92% of teachers really believe that financial education should be taught somewhere within K through 12, but it only is happening about 12% of the time. And so you have people who really want to teach it. They want it to be a part of it, but one, they know it's not. And then also they're not comfortable teaching it. And so you only have about 31% that are even comfortable teaching the topic, and then others are either moderately or not comfortable at all. And so we really have to equip teachers, regardless of the courses that they teach, about some of the basics and some of the rules that go around with budgeting and savings and really reading what people are signing and looking for future state versus where they are right now. And that's not happening to the degree that it should be, although I do believe that these millennial teachers are really saying, we're going to do this. We're going to do it. And they're actually, because they're so good at technology, using vehicles for crowdfunding and crowdsourcing to get money to be able to learn more and to be able to teach financial capabilities.
Yeah, which is great. You know, I was thinking this the other day, too. It may depend on the school, the district that you're in, because we know how different states operate, different school boards operate. And for people listening to us, it would probably behoove a lot of them if they raised the question themselves and went to some of these school board meetings. Don't you think that would help?
Oh, absolutely. Right now, there's about 17 states that mandate financial education at some point before the student graduates from high school. Now, for some, they're very good courses. For others, they teach it once over an hour period, and they check the box and move on. But at least it's somewhere embedded. And so there's a lot more states to go to really say this is important. And one of the things that the teachers in our most recent study, they said that we can't always teach it because it's still not viewed as a true life skill. And I don't know how else to communicate that being able to save for your future and to be able to be financially secure and successful seems like a life skill to me. And so we certainly have to get that through to more people.
Yeah, I think what you raised and what the study found, especially when you're talking about payday loans and treating your 401k like it's a bank account. I mean, those are learned behaviors. There's something missing there, and obviously you've tapped into this with your study and found that the frankly the financial literacy out there is not good.
No, it's not. And it's certainly with those risky behaviors, as well as when you look just at normal issues around people being delinquent on their credit card payments, they're overdrawn with their savings and checking accounts. And what we really found is this generation, more than any others, is really feeling so shackled by the burdens of their loans, their college loans, that no other generation has had. And unfortunately, we have not equipped them to figure out not only how to repay that, but to repay that and figure out where they're going to live and figure out how they're going to still have experiences with their friends and figure out how to save for the future. All those things weren't done together, and so now they're flailing a bit.
Yeah, great information, definitely eye-opening. Shannon Schuler from PricewaterhouseCoopers, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And let me give you some of those numbers. And that was great stuff that Shannon was just talking about, because certainly we know that, look at the future and how dismal is it when there is obviously a critical lack of financial education. And here's some of what they found. 70% of teachers, will reemphasize that again, in states like California and Texas say they don't feel qualified to teach financial education. That was one of the things Shannon was talking about. Nationally, the number's not great. 92% of K through 12 teachers believe the subject should be taught in schools, but only 12% are actually tackling that job. And, oh, man, it really resonates with me when we're talking about kids being pulled in to financial situations that they just keep going down that dark rabbit hole where no one's explaining, because you see payday loans all over the place and they think, oh, I need the money, get the money. Or they don't sign up. What was really troubling that Shannon said to me is they don't sign up for their company's programs, their retirement programs, knowing that if you do that, how many years you're there, imagine, at least there is some money there. As many of us know, what a lifesaver, what a net that has become, for so many people. So I think it's with this literacy month, financial literacy month, I think it's so vital to rethink this in our schools. In as much as there are so many wonderful teachers out there and amazing subjects that are being taught, in the era that we're in, it's very critical when you look at technology and you look at the possibilities of just how deep, at a very young age, some of these boys and girls can pull themselves down that path that's really hard to turn around and takes years and years and years, because what's the advantage? They have youth in planning for their future. So good stuff. Stay with us. Much more coming your way next on America Tonight.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now, or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
normal blood pressure naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hey, thanks for hanging with us here on America Tonight. So we start off talking a little politics. I mentioned briefly that there were some big sporting events, and we'll get to those, too, in case you have no idea what I'm talking about. Worth mentioning, absolutely, in this go-around. But for now, I thought it'd be fun to do a little true or false with Patrick Eggdorf, who joins us on this show. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Kate. How's it going?
You know what? I think we should consider ourselves lucky if we're not completely lying prone, riddled with the flu or some other bizarre ailment that's going around.
Oh, it's definitely going around.
Yeah, there was somebody, it's Stephen Kelly, who was telling us that he had the flu twice. So it hit him bad first, and then it came back around again and nabbed him. And I don't know, it's that whole argument, and some of you can relate to this. Should you get the flu shot or not? Have you ever had a flu shot?
I've had a few, yeah.
So you think it works, because you're not that old. It's worked for you.
Yeah, I've been under the impression that it definitely works. But the last couple of years, I haven't gotten one. Then, you know, I haven't really gotten too sick. So, I don't know.
it's up for debate, I guess that's what I'm saying. I think it's, some people will swear by it and other people will say, oh, it's not, no, it's not going to really help you that much. I think it depends on your age and a whole bunch of other things. So for true or false, as we could say, there is no true or false for that one for you or I, because I've seen it go both ways. Here's a good true or false, though. How about this? Is it true or is it false that a new report comes out and says an aspirin a day could push actually death away?
I'm going to say false for that one.
False. You're going to say false. All right, here's what the deal is. Now, what they're saying is in this new study, they're saying that an aspirin a day could actually help you, could push your life, extend your life, so push death away, in other words. It applies to people who aren't at an increased risk for gastro kind of bleeding, and they have at least a 10-year extra life expectancy, they say, if they take low-dose aspirin for daily for at least 10 years. But, you know, before they've said that before, and then I've heard contrary evidence to the fact that, oh, so what if you're taking an aspirin, that it's not going to necessarily push off, you know, extra years or push off heart attacks or, you know, so which way is it? It's very confusing, Patrick, and it's kind of like how we started off with the flu thing. But it's a new recommendation, and this is from the U.S. Preventative Service Task Force. They published a final recommendation, and that happened on Monday, saying that if you take an aspirin, it could help prevent heart disease and even colon cancer. And they said they found that people ages 50 to 59 who had that risk for it, it would lower that. It would lower also stroke. They threw that into there. And they say that it could help people 60 to 69. So I don't know. So what do you do? Low dose aspirin. What do you go get baby aspirin and take that? I'm not sure. You know, I think there's two sides to this thing, like everything else when it comes to health. All right, let's move to another one. True or false, Jordan Spieth was again the winner at the Masters, one of the majors in the world of golf.
I'm going to say true.
He should have been. I'm glad you said that. He should have been, but it's false. He had a 5-stroke lead heading into the back nine. There's 18 holes in golf, and he had this tremendous lead, and he collapsed. It was an epic collapse. He got what they call a quadruple bogey on the 12th hole, hitting the ball into the water and then hitting into the water again. Just insanity to watch that, because he was in cruise control. And you know what? He's your age. He's 22 years old, and he's a phenomenal golfer. And I'm sure he'll recover, and we'll see him again winning some other tournament. But boy, oh boy, that was really a wild thing to watch. And it was to the benefit of a guy named Danny Willett, who won the Masters, was, I'm sure, totally unbelievably shocked by winning the Masters, but he did, and he won it because of, I mean, he played great golf, but he won it because of that epic collapse too as well. And kind of an interesting thing, his win, Patrick, was pretty costly for the Manchester United manager, who's a professional soccer manager. And it's because Ferguson went to Augusta to watch all 4 days of the tournament, and he had backed Jordan Spieth to win and appeared on course to cash a big ticket, $11,386. So in England, you can bet on golfers. You can bet on almost anything. So he was going to win. Imagine this. He was going to win all that money, and then Spieth collapsed, and here his fellow countrymen ended up winning, and he lost all that money. So this is just a crazy, crazy kind of thing. All right, true or false? There's a crazy thing that happened with the spacecraft that there was kind of a cosmic scare, if you will, in the skies. And when we say spacecraft, we're talking about being 3 days in emergency mode. At least that's what NASA is saying with the Kepler spacecraft. Because, of course, it's 75 million miles away. It's a telescope that searches for habitable planets, believe it or not. And they said it showed signs of distress and went into that emergency mode. True or false?
I'm going to say true.
Yes, you could certainly tell by my explanation. It's true. They announced this, that the Kepler is the Earth's bigger, older cousin. I mean, they announced that last July. But then they've got this, you know, they've got this crazy telescope that does the searching, and they don't know what happened, but on Sunday, it reached a stable state because it was looking like it was going to have a big problem with the communication antenna pointed toward Earth. But they say it's operating at its lowest fuel burn. That means the telescope could get back to its job of looking at planets, because that's what it's supposed to do. And they analyze information from the Kepler, and they decide if it's, they're trying to decide if it's healthy enough to return to science mode. And if it gets a clean bill of health, that's exactly what happens. And that, you know, the telescope found, like, again, the Kepler telescope found this older cousin planet of the Earth. So I think it's actually pretty cool. If you look at the pictures that come back from that, that's what would get you pretty excited about this, I guess. And if you're like me and you kind of are interested in space anyway, then it would definitely pique your interest. Let's put it that way. All right, how about this? Is it true that Jeff Bezos, who runs Amazon, has been told by so many of his customers to dump Trump? True or false?
I'm going to say true.
Yes, you are on a roll. So here's what the scoop is. I mean, Jeff Bezos, it seems like he owns the world. So he could be looking at the world through a different view, just like that Kepler telescope. But the dump Trump thing has to do with the fact that about 13,000 Amazon customers have signed this petition, and they basically say, as an Amazon customer, I'm disappointed that you have yet to serve your business, you know, sever your business relationship with Donald Trump. His hatred should have no place in the Amazon marketplace. The petition was created by Ultraviolet, a women's rights group, initially, and it addressed, you know, Jeff Bezos. They're telling him he needs to cut ties with him and to stop selling menswear from the Donald J. Trump collection. Trump currently has 8 things on Amazon, and they want him to dump it. You know, it's funny, ESPN pulled one of its celebrity golf tournaments from a Trump golf course. NBC booted Miss USA from its network. Macy's pulled the Trump clothing line from its shelves. Serta said it wouldn't renew its license agreement. So there have been a couple of things that have happened in connection with Trump and his endorsements, which is why they're saying that to, you know, saying that to Amazon. How about that? All right, how about this? Ford has a new spinoff. We know in the car business, things are cyclical sometimes, and it's about emulating other types of cars that are being produced by other companies. And Ford has come up with an electronic car, a self-driving electronic car, that they feel pretty proud of and think that a lot of people will be driving in the future. True or false?
I'm going to say true once more.
Yep, true. So here's what the scoop is. Mark Fields is the CEO of Ford Motor Company, and what he says is it's an interesting time to be in this spot because now we're coming off a record year for sales. There's a lot of scary handwriting on the wall in the future, the car sharing, ride sharing, Apple cars, Google cars, Tesla, and they haven't had to deal with that before, but they're recognizing it, so they're coming up with their own version, and they have it. This car, a self-driving car, think of that, 113 years at Ford. Wow. Pretty interesting stuff. All right, thank you very much, Patrick, and hang with us, everybody. Much more coming your way. Put your feet back and relax and enjoy as we ride off into the next segment here on America Tonight.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
75 years ago, America suffered one of the worst moments in American history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now you can remember December 7th, 1941, with the purchase of the first ever 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-490-3200 right now for the official 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve, the only company authorized to distribute these 100% solid gold coins. Remember Pearl Harbor with this limited official gold release. 1-800-490-3200 or online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro 1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com or 800-544-3533.
Man has created a vast array of systems for the preservation of the world.
Once again, he is back, Stephen Kelly. He is a financial guru that we talked to on this show, truly. He's got a book out that's, I think, a must-read. Tell Me When You're Going to Die, and I'll show you how well you can afford to live. You can pick that up on Amazon, absolutely, or go to his website, freemoneyguys.com. Stephen, how have you been?
I've been fine. How about yourself?
Fine, fine. A lot of crud is going around. I know a lot of people have been getting the flu all over the country and various strains of it. I actually was fighting through that myself for the last couple of weeks, and you think you're okay, and then it knocks you back again.
Yeah, I had it twice.
Oh, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I had that twice, and then I was traveling for a while, and it's good to be back. I guess you got caught up with the March Madness thing, huh?
Yes, March Madness and the Villanova win, which I've talked to
listeners
about.
Oh, is that the most amazing thing you've ever seen?
Amazing. That's why we watch sports right there.
That's right. That's it.
Absolutely.
It's a metaphor for life, isn't it?
It is. It is. And when we're not watching sports, hopefully people are paying attention to what their future is all about, because you say it, and it's in the title of your book, none of us know when we're going to die. And now there is, and you were telling me about this off air, the Department of Labor now has a new fiduciary ruling that will affect all of us. Explain that to me, because that somehow was off my radar screen.
Well, you know, in a way you can understand, in a way that it's just really overreach, and they've done some things that were not very well thought out. Essentially, you would have a right to believe, I would think, that if you hired a financial planner or a financial advisor, that that person would be required to work in your best interest. Wouldn't you think?
Yes.
Well, the truth of the matter is that under current law, they're not. Not unless they choose to have a license, which I do, by the way, that requires a fiduciary duty to the client. Now, let me explain what a fiduciary duty is. There are two standards of conduct in my industry. One is called suitability, and the other one is called fiduciary or a trust standard. Let's talk about suitability.
Okay.
Suitability means that as long as I present something that is suitable to you, I have met the standard of the law. Now, let me explain what that means. Let's assume that there are two choices between strategies or products or something else that I could offer you. One of those is clearly better for you. One of those is clearly better for me, but it's still suitable for you.
Mm-hmm.
Under current law, I'm perfectly within my rights to offer you the lesser of the two for you. The one that's better for me, but just suitable for you. And I can offer you that. And this creates all kinds of conflicts in the marketplace, because as long as something is quote unquote suitable, and who defines what that is, nobody really knows.
Right.
I'm okay offering that to you. Now, the fiduciary standard requires by law that I offer you the one that's better for you. That's not to say I can't offer you the other one as well. It's just that I have to bring to your attention this other opportunity, and I have to explain that to you, and then I can show you the other one if I want to, but I have to explain to you why the other one is better for you. Now, nobody can really argue that that's a good model, correct?
I mean,
it would be very, very difficult to say, well, no, you shouldn't have to give people the better one. So that's one of the reasons that this new legislation puts people in my position, in a very bad position, because it's very difficult to argue that I shouldn't be required to give you the better advice. Now, the fact of the matter is, Kate, under current law and under current circumstances, there is something called the Series 65 registered investment advisor license, and that's the one I hold, and that does come under the Investment Advisor Act of 1940, and that does require a fiduciary duty to the client. And I'm all about that. I think that's good, and I think it's necessary, and I think people in my position should be operating in that way. The problem and the fact of the matter is about only about 10% of the advisors out there have that duty. The vast majority work under the suitability standard. So the Department of Labor has decided, in its infinite wisdom, that another government regulation is necessary. And they came out with this fiduciary standards rule that went into place last Wednesday. And like I said, it's very difficult to argue against the fiduciary standard. The problem is they haven't really defined what that is. What does that mean? Essentially, what they've done is it's just open season now on financial advisors from the lawsuit standpoint, because they've created this requirement that we must operate as a fiduciary.
Right.
But they have not then defined what those standards mean and what best interest of the clients mean. And instead of really defining that, what they've done is they've tackled they've attacked our compensation. And I understand that, and I want to get into that. Maybe we can get into that a little bit more next week about the compensation models. But they haven't really fixed the problem. All they've done is they've said, okay, there is a problem, and if you don't fix it, you're going to be liable and perhaps even could go to jail. Now, Australia recently adopted a very similar ruling, and it put 70% of the financial advisors in Australia out of business. And this is the problem. You know, Ronald Reagan once said the 11 most frightening words in the English language are, "I'm from the federal government and I'm here to help."
Exactly.
And you know, and he also said that, you know, the purpose of government is to save you from other people, protect you from other people. It's not to protect you from yourself. And it's our belief that this new ruling, you know, really does that. It's trying to protect people from themselves.
Yeah, so then here's the question, too, and you said it. The fear is, can you imagine how crazy and convoluted these lawsuits will be as well?
Well, that's just it. And then the other thing is we're already regulated by two or three federal agencies and many state agencies. I'm personally regulated by the state insurance departments, by FINRA, the federal investment, whatever it is, and the SEC. Oh, and also the state securities department. So I have four government bodies currently regulating me. Now I have a fifth. And not only that, but the IRS is now talking about coming out with a fiduciary rule. So the question becomes, if you have all of these different government bodies regulating you and they all define, for example, the label fiduciary differently, which one supersedes which one, and how in the world do you operate under a cloud like that? It's crazy. It's insane.
Yeah, because you're right. Because of the confusion, it is very difficult to figure out the direction you're going. Okay, I think this is great because next week we're going to talk about the compensation problem overall, and it's something we haven't talked about before. Stephen Kelly, as always, the book is Tell Me When You're Going to Die, and I'll show you how well you can afford to live. And people can find out more about you by going to freemoneyguys.com, correct?
That's correct. And they can also call 844-4-FREE-MO.
Cool. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Kay. Great talking to you.
Thank you.
Dr. Lane Sebring appeared on Fox News and claimed that he could give seniors a second shot at youth. Viewers were highly skeptical. But then they saw the proof. Despite being 61 years old, Dr. Sebring is still competing in martial arts competitions against guys half his age and winning. But what's even more remarkable are his lab tests that back it all up. His blood pressure checks in at a healthy 110 over 78, and his blood sugar never jumps above 70. So what's his secret? Sebring has been using a powerful green drink that he personally formulated called Patriot Power Greens. Patriot Power Greens was originally created to help older guys in the military who are dealing with achy joints and stiff muscles. And for a limited time, Dr. Sebring is letting you try the drink absolutely free. All he asks is that you chip in a few bucks to help cover shipping. To claim your free samples of Patriot Power Greens, go to greens75.com. Greens75.com. Greens75.com.